Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I am Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, I gotta say I'm disappointed.
Oh, by what, Erin?
You're not wearing your robe. You said you'd wear your robe today.
Well, Erin, I put on my navy blue t-shirt and put a little cream blush on for you.
And that's all I can really ask on a day like today.
And it's all I can offer.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who probably haven't gotten very much sleep over the last couple of nights.
Not much.
Not much sleep. And aren't sure they're ready for a joke yet.
Not ready for a joke.
No. Okay.
No.
So here's how the show is going to go today, folks. Alyssa and I are going to talk about some of the races that we have been tracking on the show.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. And then we are going to talk about kind of what it all means. And there's going to be a lot of what it all means in the coming weeks. There's going to be reporting coming out. But we know that you guys tune in because it feels like we're all kind of besties at a hang.
In it together.
In it together. And so we are going to just kind of go through all the ugly and the optimistic and the ways that those two things intermingle, if at all. So let's get to the facts first. Alyssa, let's talk about the races that we tracked this cycle.
Well, we are so excited. We were able
you
to
You sound
have,
so excited, Alyssa.
We were excited to have 20 exceptional candidates on this summer, and they were running for national and state legislatures. They were either trying to flip or hold Democratic seats, all in competitive races. And some of them did really well.
Amazing.
So let's see. Kristen McDonald Rivett in Michigan 8, U.S. Congress. The first ones we're going to talk about are all U.S. Congress. She won.
Great.
She won her seat. We are excited. It's been called. She won. Amelia Sykes in Ohio 13 also won, which was great because her race was a toss-up up until Election Day. So that's great. Andrea Salinas in Oregon 6. She is projected to win and has declared victory. They have not called it in Oregon yet because they are still counting ballots, but it looks like she is in pretty good shape. Yadira Caraveo in Colorado's 8. As of 10 o'clock Eastern time today, she was leading 49.5 to 48%. She only won her seat by 1% in 2022, so fingers crossed. Susan Wild in Pennsylvania 7. As of our recording, she is down 49.3 to 50.7. This was tight going in, and it looks like she may not eke it out, but we're going to keep our fingers crossed. And last for Congress in New Jersey 7, Sue Altman, as of this morning, she has lost to Tom Keene, 52.5 to 45.7. She was trying to flip it back, but didn't work.
State-level races, Diamond State and Williams in the North Carolina House District 73, as of recording, has lost 46.65 to 53.3%. A bright spot in North Carolina, Michelle Morrow, who the absolute crazy person who
was like, honestly, I was so worried to look this one up. I was like, dear God, I'm not sure I can handle it.
But I know. It was too much, but she did lose the race for superintendent of public instruction. I would say that is the educational equivalent of if Ted Bundy were running for Surgeon General, you know, you don't want.
Yes. She was going to be bad all around. Anyway, we are glad that that's a bright spot for sure.
Right. And Stephanie Simicek of Arizona House District 2, as of 10 a.m., not quite called. She's leading, which is exciting. Jamie Churches of Michigan House District 27 is not called. Churches is down by a couple percentage points there. Anna Payne of Pennsylvania's 142nd House District has lost. Avery Bishop of Texas House District 112 also has lost. Mai Zhang of the Michigan House District 13 won.
Yes.
Amazing.
Isn't that great?
Lorena Austin, the Arizona State House District Representative in District 9, who we have had on the show a couple times, is leading.
Yep.
Which is great. Ava Birch for the Arizona State Senate hasn't been called yet, but she is leading. Sarah Henry has lost Florida House District 38. Dallas Harris is trailing in the Nevada Senate District 11 race by about 4 percentage points. So we could see, we'll see what happens there. Anna Thomas in Pennsylvania State House District 137 has lost. And Lauren Ashley Simmons of the Texas District 146 has won. So that's
not just
exciting.
One. Landslide.
Landslide.
So we love to see it.
That's exciting. Okay. Now we're going to talk about some of the measures that we've been tracking. As our listeners know, there were 10 states where abortion was on the ballot, and abortion really had a pretty good day at the polls, especially considering how far to the right everything shifted last night. Like, we cannot even – we'll go into that in a little bit. But everything voted redder than people expected it to vote and was more red than in 2020. But despite that, despite the fact that New York is – sliding down the hill toward being a purple state.
Wow.
New York passed the right to abortion with 61.9%. So people cannot be denied rights based on their ethnicity, national origin, age, and disability or sex, including sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, and reproductive health care and autonomy. That is huge.
It's huge. And the thing that's actually really great about that is that there was not a lot of money put behind that. That was really just people walking into the election booth and reading it and agreeing that that should be correct. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Florida Amendment 4 failed to reach the 60% threshold that it needed to reach to pass. It got 57.2% of the vote, but in the state of Florida, that is not enough.
Well, you know what, though, Erin? In a way, can we look at it as, like, a little bit of a victory, considering how much money and, like, illegal state resources Ron DeSantis put behind it to try to kill it?
I mean, it is an expression of – it is a glimmer of hope, but it is not a victory in any way.
No, it's not a victory. It's not
now,
a victory,
but... I mean, women all over the South will continue to have to travel absurd distances to obtain abortion care because Florida was the place up until the six-week ban was enacted that many of them went to receive care. And it is no longer an option because their six-week ban stands. Mm-hmm. Arizona Prop 139 passed 61.7%, providing the right to abortion before the point of fetal viability. Just a reminder to listeners, that is the protection that Roe offered. That is what Roe v. Wade was. Up until fetal viability, elective abortions are protected. Colorado Amendment 79, the right to abortion and health insurance coverage passed 61.5%, creates a right to abortion in the state constitution and allows the use of public funds for abortion. I anticipate some legal slap fighting over that.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so.
Thanks a lot, Hyde Amendment.
Yeah.
Maryland question one, the right to abortion passed 74%. Which establishes a right to reproductive freedom, which is great. Missouri Amendment 3, the right to abortion, passed 51.7%, which establishes a right to reproductive freedom up to the point of fetal viability. So that is also, that's exciting and kind of unexpected in a red state. In Montana, the right to abortion care passed with 57.2%. Nebraska Initiative 434, prohibit abortion after the first trimester, passed. So that's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. So that means that the state constitution has been amended to prohibit abortion after the first trimester unless necessitated by a medical emergency or the pregnancy is a result of sexual assault or incest. Now, let me remind listeners that something like 90% of abortions take place during the first trimester.
Right.
But that 10% that takes place after the first trimester is often the result of, like, something unexpected or catastrophic or tragic and isn't necessarily always life-threatening but can quickly become life-threatening. So that is a Basura law. Nebraska Initiative 439, the right to abortion, failed. Nevada Question 6, right to abortion, passed with 63.2%. And South Dakota's Amendment G, right to abortion, failed. So that's I can't say that was unexpected in South Dakota. Abortion rights, when they are directly on the ballot, still have overwhelmingly been victorious. Mm-hmm. And so that is a green shoot here. School choice was a hot topic down the ballot this year, and we have been tracking some of those ballot measures. Kentucky Amendment 2, which would allow state funds to be used for non-public education like charter schools, failed.
What do you know about that?
Interesting. I find that very interesting.
65% of voters casting their ballots against the measure. That wasn't just a little. It was a lot.
It was a lot. And you know what is also really interesting? J.D. Vance, the vice president-elect, which is a gross thing to say. But J.D. Vance is like,
so gross.
School choice is like one of his big,
one
of the chickens he likes fucking the most. And I'm sorry, that is so gross. But it is a massively unpopular, it's massively unpopular when put up to the voters. So I find that super interesting. That might be a way that Democrats and progressives can exploit a vulnerability in the GOP platform. In North Dakota, a constitutional measure that would have cut property taxes, which also would have cut funding to schools, failed.
It's good.
Good news. Good news. In Nebraska, an education scholarship program referendum that I don't want to get too in the weeds here was bad, was rejected by voters. Got some other wins too, Alyssa. Let's go down the list.
Okay, Sarah McBride, Delaware state senator, won the state's only House seat Tuesday, making her the first openly transgender person elected to Congress. That is exciting. Shamari Figures wins the bid to represent the Alabama district embroiled in the Supreme Court case. With 84% of the votes reported Tuesday, Figures had 54.8% of the vote to 45.1% for Dobson. Just a reminder that in 2023, the Supreme Court upheld an earlier ruling stating that Alabama's district map likely discriminated against Black voters and mandated redrawing the second district. So, Shamari, congratulations.
That's exciting. The U.S. Senate, also for the first time in history, has two Black women who are about to serve.
Amazing.
Delaware Representative Lisa Blunt Rochester and Prince George's County, Maryland Executive Angela Alsobrooks made history. They both won their U.S. Senate races, which is super exciting.
It's great.
I saw Angela Alsobrooks speak at the DNC. She's so impressive. She's been a guest on PodSave. And both of these wonderful women, future senators, are welcome on Hysteria whenever they want.
Anytime.
Just putting that out there. We would love to talk to them. Super exciting stuff. In a news cycle that is not all that exciting or happy. So,
no, but these are all really good, positive things that in the darkness we can be like, okay, some good things are still happening. Green shoots, as you'd say.
Green shoots.
Green
shoots. That's all we can focus on right now. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last night, though, Alyssa.
Okay.
Where's your head? How you doing?
I feel like numb, I think. I think that there were, not a lot of sleep, right? A lot of tears this morning. And as I say tears, I can feel them. I can feel them welling up. I think it's really hard to believe. I mean, it's true. We see it. It wasn't just that he won. It was a fucking ass kicking. It is hard as a woman to not take personally.
I think you should take it personally.
I'm taking it personally. That's why the tears are a little hard to choke back, because I think in 2016. And the years, you know, it's been 8 years since 2016. I think that in 2016, there was a lot we could tell ourselves, right? Yes, Hillary was the most qualified person, not just woman, person probably to ever run for president. But we had a Democrat for 8 years, right? Hard to get over that threshold. Clinton fatigue, right? She didn't travel to a lot of the blue wall states leading up to the election. There were things you could say. There were like identifiable mistakes. There were circumstances that you could tell yourself, maybe this is why it happened. That seemed reasonable, you know? Mm-hmm. That's not now. That's not now.
Right. Right. There was plausible deniability.
Right.
Beyond a lot of people in the U.S. just fucking hate women. Just fucking hate us. They just hate us. They either hate us or they think that our rights are less important than what a serial liar has told them about what tariffs do.
Right.
I think that a lot of the economy language, the inflation language that people used as justification for their Trump support was just kind of a paper gown.
Yeah.
Covering their sexism and racism. And
with no ties. There were no ties on the paper.
With no ties.
Pound.
Butt no. crack straight out.
Like, everywhere.
We're like, I know your crack's out back there. You don't need to keep saying it's
the like
economy.
That scene in Something's Gotta Give where Jack Nicholson is in the hospital with his, and he's just shuffling down the hallway, just fucking ass hanging out.
Just
That's where we're at.
Cheeks out, ass out.
Yep.
My reaction to this is going to oscillate, I'm warning listeners, between like rage. Controlled rage, because I am feeling numb. I have shed zero tears, and I've gotten 2 hours of sleep. Mm. Rage and something to chew on, I guess. Not advice, but just, like, something to chew on as we move forward into this world that we live in. So the first thing I want to say is I feel like this victory of Donald Trump was brought to us by an absolute rainbow coalition of dupes and assholes. And I am disappointed but not surprised.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That in seeing the election returns, I was too hopeful in trying to assess like what the situation was like out there. I realized looking at the preliminary exit polling about like demographics and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, of course there's that really annoying stat that's like annoying / embarrassing. That's like white women still voted for Donald Trump. But if
right.
you take a look at education levels, white women who didn't go to college overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump, and white mm-hmm. women who did not. And I realize I don't really talk to any like white women who didn't go to college. I don't really like I don't know that many of them, especially between the ages of like 45 and 65. I don't talk to people like I don't know those people, you know. And so my sense of where the country was going and where the enthusiasm was just has this huge like blind spot. But the thing is, like, I don't really. I'm going to sound like an asshole, but this is my show. I don't really care to talk to those people. I don't want to. I don't have much in common with them. I don't feel like I feel like there is a grievance and a mutually agreed upon hatred that unites a lot of people who are diehard MAGA that I cannot relate to, and I don't want polluting my life.
Well, I think that part of that, I hang out with a lot more people like that than you do. But I think it is in this election, the people who we have thought of as like the hardcore MAGA, the coalition is so bigger. I think that's the really heartbreaking part, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there is the percentage of the country that you're like, okay, these people double down on everything he thinks and everything he says. But it's actually, there are more people in our backyard, right, than I think we thought based mm-hmm. on the results last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, young men are, mm-hmm. you know, I should maybe take back all the complaining about men my age that I've ever done because, whew, women under 30, you got a bunch of real
yeah.
pieces of work. They're not great. Another thought that I had was the amount of disrespect that this country has just shown Black women.
Totally.
Who have given everything to civic participation, to the political process, and
organizing.
Gotten absolutely fucking jack shit in return. The amount of disrespect that this country has shown them is obscene.
Mm-hmm.
It is like obscenity. And I have no words for anybody who's listening who is a Black woman in the U.S. that could possibly make anyone feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the fact that my heart just absolutely goes out to Black women today specifically, because this is gross. Like the handicap that Donald Trump got being a barely coherent, like dumb idiot,
barely.
white guy. Like he got his ass handed to him in the debate. His
mm-hmm.
plans made very little sense. Any follow-up questions asked to any MAGA people, like, produce pretty much gobbledygook.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, like, bad plans. He was a bad president. He has a track record of fucking up everything he's ever touched.
He's a criminal.
He's a criminal. Everything he's ever touched has just, like, turned to absolute shit. And we had a qualified, intelligent Black woman with plans, with a direction, with a vision, with energy. And we still picked the fucking old white floppy pink loser. Like, I am...
Who had the floppy VP.
Yeah, with, like, the least...
There was no redemption. There is not one redeeming quality in that package. Not one. And, you know, like, for all... First of all, watching... Do you know the only thing that should be on television right now is the Yule log? Like, they should just be the log with the burning and Christmas music, because there is, like, cable news is such a cesspool right now of the... Well, upbeat, here's why it happened, and blah, blah. No, no. Guys, listen.
It's a sexism, stupid.
He believes everything he fucking said. He believes it. He's going to protect us whether we want it or not. Guys, he meant it. RFK in charge of healthcare? He meant it. He has meant it. And so I just, it's a dark day.
Let me give you something to chew on. I'm not trying to give a little pep talk at all, but let me give you just something to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump says whatever he needs to say in any situation to get what he wants, right?
Right, right.
But he did say some things on the campaign trail this time around.
Yes, he did.
That I was like, that's a fucking lie. But what if we held him to it? Like, what if we held him to his...
I see where you're going.
What if we held him to his IVF comments? What if we held him to his garbled nonsense answer about childcare?
Yeah.
Where he indicated that he cared about it. You know, what if we... Because I know that those things are across-the-board issues. Conservative women who voted for him care about childcare.
Right.
A lot of them either have kids or have grandkids that they're looking after. Like, they care about those things. Like, let's hold him to it. Did you vote for Donald Trump because he told you that he would cover IVF? Then, like, fucking hold him to it.
Right.
Hold him to it. Maybe he'll actually do it. He's not trying to suck up to pro-lifers anymore. He can't run for re-election. I mean...
It's a good point.
I mean, my lips to God's ears. He can't run for re-election constitutionally. But, you know, what's the Constitution to Donald Trump but, you know, a piece of old toilet paper? So that's one thing I can say. Like, let's actually be like, okay, dude, cough it up. Like, let's do this. You said you were going to, so do it.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I want to say is I have been covering elections, writing about politics since, like, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And every single election, with, like, a couple of exceptions, it has been a slow backslide toward hell. And every single election, I have felt like this is my last one. Like, I'm like an old cop at the beginning of a movie that's like, all right, I'll come back for one more case.
One more.
And I'm so tired of doing this. And this was literally going to be my last one. Like, I was going to not do this anymore. And now I feel like I have to. And the reason that I feel like I have to is because I have two daughters. Like, I've got two daughters, and I still live in this country, and my family lives in this country, and I can't just say fuck it and bail. I think that what I have decided is the path forward for me. And it might not be for everybody listening. It's fine. Just giving you something to think about. Is I need to focus on establishing little islands of peace in my world where I can regain the strength that I need to go out and fight for the people who are in the line of fire, so to speak, and to be the person I need to be for my family and to be the person I need to be for my friends. And by that, I mean, it doesn't do the world any good to retreat into your anxiety to the point that it's debilitating and that you are paralyzed. Mm-hmm. If you are feeling paralyzed, if you feel like you can't do anything, then you need to take a breath and find a way to give yourself the space to heal enough to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be like, yeah, you can, yeah, you can do it. Maybe that means, like, just turning off the news for, like, 3 weeks and then being like, okay, I'm ready. Maybe that means just, like, fucking off for 4 years. No judgment. I can't judge other people's journeys here. But if there is a way for you to just sit in your car for 5 minutes every day and take deep breaths in the silence. Or pick up a hobby that you've kind of let go to the wayside. And on a day that you might find yourself doom scrolling, do something else instead. You know, like find the space to build your strength to get up and wake up every morning and go out there and be who you need to be for your family and your friends and your loved ones, because people depend on you, mm-hmm. you know? People are depending on me. People are depending on you, Alyssa. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep showing up. We're going to have to. There's no other choice.
Well, and I think everything you say is correct. And I think the way to think about it, too, is Donald Trump's barely going to show up for work, right? Yeah. He golfed more than anybody else, and so
He golfed for a full year.
He had a
whole year of golfing out of 4 years
of
presidency.
So he takes a lot of mental health. The people who work for him take a lot of mental health time. And so I think that, you know, like yesterday when everything, you know, was very unknown, right? Like yesterday afternoon, I was like, all right, I was so anxious. And at this stage of my life, anxiety just produces debilitating hot flashes. So I'm like, this isn't going to help me. And I went out and I was like, what can I do? And I took all of my garden pots from the summer and I was like, let's prepare them for winter. And for an hour, I did genuinely forget what was happening. And I got something done for me. I got something off my to-do list and I felt better and my heart rate went down. And I think that everybody has to do whatever it takes to lift their spirits and get their heart rate down.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like when you're on an airplane, you got to put on your own mask before you turn and help the person next to you. And whatever, mm-hmm. right now we are all putting on our own mask. And mm-hmm. because the goal is that we will help each other and support each other through this, whatever happens, however it looks. Like, the other week in the office, Lovett kind of gave us a pep talk about how the race looked. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give all the details of it, but he said at one point that if this goes in Trump's direction, if Trump wins, there is still a lot of ground to hold on to, and there's a lot of people on that ground. Mm-hmm. And the people who have the ability and the strength to stand up and defend that ground, now's the time to do it. This is it. This is the time to do it. And we're going to be here. Alyssa and I were like we were going to just be like, what if we did a home improvement show? What if we did a show about
it? But here's the thing. We can still, listen, maybe that's how we're making space. Maybe we're going to do a little home improvement segment, okay?
100%.
I got a mouse again today. I got another fucking mouse, all right? Literally an exterminator.
Oh, no.
It was alive, okay?
God, you know what? We had a raccoon problem. It wasn't a problem to me because I think raccoons are funny and awesome and I like when they're around, but it was a problem to the landlord. The landlord was like, you guys got to get rid of these raccoons. And so we had to hire a humane trapper. And they just catch them in a cage and then they take them to like the park and they let them go and you know, hope for the best.
And let me tell you, when my pest man showed up this morning and I was in my Amy Schumer tour t-shirt that only says whore on the front mm-hmm. with my sunglasses on because I had a headache from the sun and I went in and changed and I was like, I had a, you know, when you have like a half clean shirt over the tub, I was mm-hmm. like, oh Jesus. So I'm like, I have to go back out and talk to him. So I go and I put on my Cat Ladies for Kamala shirt and I'm convinced that he is MAGA. Like I'm convinced. And I go out and he's like, she got done dirty, ma'am. And I was like, thank you so much for seeing me. Like, I really appreciate that. Now let's go get them mice. Honestly, that was my win for today.
I have to say, like, listen, ladies, if you're a lady who is attracted to men, first of all, condolences. I have I've been in your shoes. I just want to say, like, there is no reason for us to do anything at all to appease men ever, ever again. They hate us. They hate us. They hate us regardless. You don't have to do shit. Don't shave your legs. Don't shave your armpits. Grow a giant bush. Do whatever you want. Like, do what you want to your own. Like, use the freedom that you have. Like, you don't need to sacrifice your happiness and your peace to include people that are always going to disrespect you and never going to see you as a full human being. You don't owe them anything because they won't give you anything. They won't give you anything because they think you don't deserve anything. Build your own peace and, like, have your – like, I'm saying I'm happily married and I love my husband. He's one of the good ones. Alyssa can attest. He is
100%.
One of the good ones, right? But I think that, like, just given what's out there, you don't – mm-mm. You don't have to. You don't have to do it. We're at Golden Girls Future, full steam ahead.
Build the lanai of your future. Where 100%. Do you think about how you want to retire and spend your life and who you want to be surrounded by and work towards that.
Yes. And women, if we're good at anything besides being passive aggressive, which I think is actually a good quality, it is building a chosen family, supporting mm-hmm. each other, building societies, building communities, and we can do that with each other. Like, we don't need to appeal to men to do that.
You
we
know there was that. A do you know there was an all-female commune in Benton, Texas, and it existed from the late 1800s until around 1980. And the lore of the Benton commune was that it was started by women who had been abused by their husbands. And Erin, over the years, more and more women joined, and they built a flourishing society that was profitable, that had everything you could ever want. It was almost like a utopia, except the problem was that, like, IVF hadn't been invented then, and so it was hard to propagate. But I'm just saying, I got one of the last books on the commune from the Benton local library a couple years ago because I was so fascinated by it.
That's amazing. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's super amazing. I also have one like more thought. I know this is like a little scattered. I still haven't cried, by the way. I don't know how. I was like it's Santa Ana wind season here, which is why I'm like my eyes are super dry and I'm blinking a lot. It is not tears, which is a surprise. So actually I have two more things. First of all, I think that I am, and a lot of people who were politically aware in 2016 and dealt with the crushing disappointment of that day are now more emotionally equipped to handle a Trump presidency than they were back then.
Right.
2016 crushed me. It crushed me. I was useless for days. I couldn't work. I couldn't think. I couldn't do anything. I didn't even want to leave the house. I was completely destroyed. This time, I recorded a podcast at 11 p.m. as they were calling Pennsylvania. I went home. I hugged my kids. I talked to my husband. I made some Trader Joe's cheese curds in the oven. They're so good.
I made expired Duncan Hines brownies.
Oh, wow.
They were good.
Well, how's your stomach?
It's all right, actually.
Oh, okay, good. But like, you know, the strength that it took to just be like, all right, soldiering through this, despite the fact that my brain was like firing off in all directions and my fight or flight instinct was just ignited and I just wanted to get out of here. It just was like the only way out is through. And I now have the emotional faculties to deal with this in a much more efficient and healthy manner than I did last time. So that's one positive thing, right? Another thing that I realized, and I don't know if this is positive or negative, it just is. I was talking to one of my friends and they pointed out that they were starting to become pessimistic about the optimism that their parents had instilled in them. And I was just thinking about that. Like, there have only really been two generations in American history where everything just kind of worked out. And those generations were the greatest generation. I mean, and that barely kind of worked out.
Right.
And boomers. Boomers just went through life with fingers on the scale, making sure that every step of their life, if they followed a series of steps, things would just kind of work out. Like if you, especially, I'm specifically talking about a privileged demographic within the privileged generation of baby boomers, everything would just kind of work out. And as a result, baby boomers did not teach their children that actually things often do not work out. Often things do not work out. Often success is not guaranteed, and success is taken away from you in a way that is completely unfair and not within your control. And we are not given the skills to cope with that. I feel like right now, those of us who have kids or those of us who people look up to, those of us who mentor people at all, we're going to have to learn how to teach the people that we are raising or we are mentoring that how to survive, if that makes sense. Like, the goal is not to just like, oh my God, everything's going to be fine, because it might not actually. It might not be fine. We need to be prepared for the fact that it might not be fine. How does survival look if it's not fine? How do we play the hand we're dealt? And yeah, that was just a realization I had. We are very ill prepared for a sort of setback that feels irreparable by a generation that never had to deal with irreparable setbacks.
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, for me, it was like I was raised, okay, didn't work out. Fucking get up, figure out something else. Like you just can't, I was raised that you just can't sit back down, right? You have to keep going. And, you know, even at a young age, it's like, I guess this is the weirdest kind of lesson, but, you know, like you're growing up and you're in high school and everyone's like, what college are you going to apply to? Or are you going to go to an Ivy League school? And I think about what a douchebag I would have turned out to be if I had gotten into an Ivy League school. And that it was a great swerve in my life that I got rejected by like half of the Ivy League and ended up at the University of Vermont. I wouldn't have met Bernie Sanders. Who knows who I might have become had I not spent 1994 to 1996 in Burlington, Vermont. Who knows? Mm-hmm. We wouldn't know each other. I wouldn't mm-hmm. have worked in the White House. Like, there are so many things in my life that wouldn't have happened. And so I think that it is totally acceptable to be sad and to feel down now. And, you know, but like, what are you going to do?
This isn't the end of the story.
It's not like, the end of the story. This is a fucking bad bump for sure.
This is really bad.
This is deeply disappointing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's a hard feeling to feel sometimes, right? Disappointment is a hard one because, like, how do you get undisappointed, mm-hmm. right? No, you're going to have to, like, sit in your disappointment for a while. And I think that part of it is thinking about how much him being president will affect people who aren't me, mm-hmm. you yeah. know? I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's, like, I think that you and I have a real empathy for that and for what's ahead, which is why we have to not give up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and what would happen if we did give up? Like,
I wouldn't feel better.
No.
My anxiety wouldn't go away.
No, exactly. How do you feel when you have an email that is important that you don't respond to? Do you feel better by just continually not responding to it?
No, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my God, it's still there. I know
yeah.
it.
If you see that person who sent it to you, like, on the street, do you cross to the other side of the street?
Yeah,
so you don't
of course
have to
you
encounter
do.
Them and be like, your email did find me, and I did not respond to it.
You're like, it's so weird. I had this iOS update, and it ate all my emails.
It ate all my emails. The thing is, what does giving up look like? I mean, very few people, like, there's no giving up. The only way out is through. And we each have to figure out how that looks for each of us. For me and you, Alyssa, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, that means yapping into a microphone.
Yeah.
Reading as much as I can, doing what I can, educating people the way that I can. For some people listening, it might be showing up to work at a school and being mm-hmm. the best teacher that you can possibly be, despite the fact that there are so many people in power now who just think education is something to be discarded or shat upon or disrespected. It might be going to work at a hospital as a doctor, despite the fact that you are now not sure about the legality of some of the things that you were trained to do as a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We all just have to figure out how we're going to show up for each other, for the country, for ourselves.
And sometimes you have to show up a little bit more when someone else can't show up that day. I think mm-hmm. that's like a real everyone over the next couple of weeks and months is going to feel the way they feel when they feel it. Some people mm-hmm. don't feel things right now. Some people can go about what they were doing yesterday, today, like nothing has happened. But in a couple mm-hmm. weeks, it might hit them. Or when I just think that being as aware and present for the people in your life over the next couple of months, it's more than about right now. And mm-hmm. it's you know, holding the space for people when it hits them or when they feel the disappointment or when Trump starts doing the things, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna close this segment with this. One thing mm-hmm. that I will say, do not cry on camera. Don't cry on camera. Like, if you're going to be in, like, public, people are taking pictures of you, you're a Kamala Harris person, don't cry. It's going to become a MAGA meme.
Yeah, don't let them. I'll tell you, you know, Aaron, that's actually incredible advice. In 2004, when John Kerry lost, we were at the speech at Faneuil Hall, and we cried. And it was a AP photo, all of us mm-hmm. crying. And that's, fuck off.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit. We don't need to don't give them the satisfaction of your pain. Share it with people who you know will hold you and support you and help you get to a point where you're ready to get up again and keep going, because that's all we can do.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do a special supercharged version of Sandy Petty. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who will be perusing Pet Finder extra hard for a new cat to adopt over the next 72 hours and possibly forever. Honestly, moments of personal crisis, great time to adopt a pet.
Absolutely. Go ahead. Get that fur butt. Get that fur butt.
There's this guy who, I'm going to just say this story real quick. There is a park near my daughter's preschool, and I drive by it when I drop her off or pick her up. And I started noticing a few months ago this man who was showing up to the park, and he kind of had some difficulty walking, and he had a dog that was like clearly just like learning how to be on the leash. And the story that I've put together is that this man got a dog as like a buddy, and I see them together every single day, and he's getting like better at walking. Like I think he was recovering.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like helping each other, and the dog is so obviously like a pound puppy. And every single time I see them together, like the dog has gotten so good on the leash, and the guy has gotten so much stronger and more confident in his walk, and they're so happy together. And I just think that like sometimes at a time of like darkness or a personal low point, having something to take care of can really help you.
I agree with that. No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, even a plant.
I killed my plants. I killed my house plants. I tried that. I tried that.
On purpose?
Not really. Not really. I really tried. They got a fungus. They went south. My mint was not minting.
You killed mint?
I killed mint.
How? Alyssa, Master Monaco.
It grew, and then it got mold. And then I was like, I had gnats. And I'm like, who wants gnats in their house? And then I got the sticky things that you put in the plant to trap the gnats. And I was like, this is chaos. I have other skills. This is not my high point. And so the plants were part of my unpotting yesterday.
Okay. The great unpotting.
The great unpotting.
Here's a fun fact about mint. You're getting mice in your house. Alyssa, you have to be very careful with this because
they're invasive.
Yes. Mm. But if you are able to plant containers of mint near exterior windows where mice might enter, like basement windows, mice hate the smell of mint.
They hate the smell of mint.
And they
I
might
know.
Not come in.
Because I had cotton balls dipped in peppermint essential oil around the house.
Oh, my God.
You know I went to YouTube, but I needed YouTube moms for this, not dads.
Yeah. Okay. Well, on that note, you know, this Sanity Corner, I was making a joke last night as we were about to record What a Day, that we need to start calling Sanity Corner Compartmentalization Station.
Yeah.
Because right now it is really important. Like I said, find places where you can establish your own peace and disconnect in a way that helps you, like, rebuild your stamina and your strength. Like an athlete. If you're an athlete training for something, you're not training 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some days, you're sitting on your couch with your feet up. And that doesn't mean you don't care.
No.
It just means you're giving yourself
recovery period.
Recovery period. So let's talk Sanity Corner stuff this week. Alyssa, let's compartmentalize. Where are you going to spend time that isn't politics or the news? Mentally, physically?
You know what I'm going to read you?
What?
I'm going to tell you something.
Ooh.
I watched the Martha Stewart documentary. I cannot recommend it enough. I can't recommend it enough. You know why? Because she is not a nice person. And she's not. Like, not since she was young. Never came across as a young person. And you know what? Still rooting for her. Because you know what? I forgot, and I'm not ruining it for anybody, because it's a documentary and people probably know something about her life. But I had forgotten, Aaron. Do you know who put her in prison? Jim fucking Comey. Jim Comey. Okay.
Get that guy out of here.
He hates blonde women. Okay. I couldn't believe it. Because here's the thing, that sanctimonious motherfucker, he didn't get her. People forget. People forget. She didn't go to prison for insider trading. She went to prison because she told the FBI she didn't remember parts of the conversation from the guy who knew about the insider trading but didn't tell her.
Uh-huh.
That's why. And he went up. Aaron, press conference, had to do another press conference, whole row of white dudes. And he was just like, lying to the FBI is a criminal offense. And we will prosecute her to the full extent. But you know what? She went to prison. She came out. She became friends with fucking Snoop Dogg, and she's living her best goddamn life. I think it's a lesson we can all learn something from right now. And it made me forget about everything else for a little bit, so I fully, fully appreciate that. And I am also decided last night, I have wanted to do this for ages. You will notice I post a lot about this on Instagram. I'm figuring out how to get back into tap dancing. I need a reason to listen to show tunes, spin around, make noises, and like feel like I accomplished something. And I think that that's going to be my 2025. That's my plan.
You're going to get back into tap dancing.
Yeah. Hmm. I was a tapper for many, many years. And unlike the other forms of dance where both my family and dance teachers would say, oh, Alyssa, so much enthusiasm, dot, dot, dot. I was actually good at the tap. And I'm gonna do that. And you know what else? Quincy Jones died this past week. Mm-hmm. And I always found him to be like a very inspiring person. Like there are people out there on the planet who I'm like, if I could be someone, who would it be? And it is Bob Geldof, who planned festivals like, or musical concerts like We Are the World and Farm Aid and all that kind of stuff, or Quincy Jones. And Quincy Jones said at the beginning of the recording of We Are the World, when all the stars and celebrities and singers were all just kind of like yakking, he said, it's time to start chopping wood. And that's how I feel today. It's time to start chopping wood.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my compartmentalization station stop. Choo-choo. I have realized that I almost compulsively doom scroll at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really bad habit. I like can't just sit still and not like pick my phone up and like
get it
through stuff. And uninstalling certain apps has not worked because I just like I call my dealer up. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's totally. It's so easy to just download it again. It's like, do you want to just like open up TikTok again?
So, just like for a minute.
Yeah, fine. But one way that I can stop myself from doing that is embroidery.
Oh, that's awesome.
Embroidery is not hard to pick up. It doesn't take up much space if you're dealing with, like, if you don't have a lot of space to, like, store things. It can take up a lot of space, but it doesn't have to.
But you don't need, like, a crafting room to be able to do it.
No, you can literally get, like, a plastic suit. You can go into Michael's. Get it. Mm-hmm. It gives you an opportunity to just kind of peruse whatever random shit they're trying to get us to decorate with for Christmas. Why is it trolls? Why trolls everywhere? I don't get it. They make them Easter trolls, Halloween trolls. Stop it. This isn't Norway. We're not decorating with trolls. Anyway, you can go to Michael's. You can just get one of those like multi-compartment little suitcase guys.
Yeah.
Snap shut and get some like different colored thread. You can even order kits off of Etsy, which is how I like first got back into it, and it'll like they'll really hold your hand through it. It'll be like, this is the color you use here. This is how you do it. It's like so easy, and it's really relaxing. And you cannot doom scroll when you got a needle in one hand and
so
like,
true.
A hoop in the other. So sometimes when I'm watching like a TV show that I normally would have like a two screen situation on, so like 90 Day Fiancé or Love Is Blind or any one of those shows that really wastes your time by making things take 10 times longer than they need to, football, doing some embroidery really helps.
So, I'm into that.
Yeah. I'm also going to be throwing a 3-year-old's, like we threw a birthday party for my older daughter this weekend, and that was fine. It was like having a wedding for cats. just complete pure chaos. But that's fine. But today, November 6th, is actually her actual birthday.
Yeah.
And I got to go home and, like, do that. So, like,
you
okay.
got a cake? We have a cake?
No, I think I'm actually going to just, like, make Funfetti cupcakes with her. Because
even
that's
better.
Just, that's
more delicious. That's really all I wanted to know. I just, yeah. I want to know what you're going to eat. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a cake from like a grocery store decorated with Mickey Mouse because that's her favorite right now.
Which is delicious.
Although this morning she told me and Josh that she wants a yoga costume. And we were like, what? No, she meant Yoda. She wants a costume
Yoda.
Of Yoda because Halloween has costume pilled her and she wants costumes for all of our favorite characters.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get her a Yoda costume and try to celebrate and get through today and then, you know, go to bed, get up, get through tomorrow. And that's all we can really do.
It'll feel better when everyone's had a little bit of sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I can't wait to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what I'm looking forward to. All right. That is all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Listeners, we love you so much. We are so glad that you tuned in. You spent today, which I know is a hard day, mm-hmm. spent a couple hours of today with us as we process this. Alyssa, thank you for being here for me all the time, like
always
every day.
Together.
Three in the morning this morning.
I am awake. I think between the two of us, when we slept like 2 hours, you probably didn't sleep two hours. I slept two
maybe.
Hours.
Maybe. Yeah. I was awake at 3 a.m. You and I were texting back and forth, and it really helped me distill, like, where my – it's just so good to have a friend like
you. But you know what it's funny, too, is, like, when I texted you, I was like, fuck, I feel so bad. It's, like, 3 a.m. And then I was like, I'm glad she's texting.
It's not – it's better than scrolling. Absolutely.
It's better – the scrolling is a real problem. It's like, do you know that I've actually – I have actually checked my pulse when I scroll?
Uh-oh, yeah.
It's not good.
Bad news.
It's not
bad news.
Nope.
I told my mom, who is at an age where she needs to, like, watch her blood pressure, I'm like, just don't do anything. You can't do anything right now. Just don't – just put – turn the TV off. Chop some wood. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com, we're here. We're here for you. Well, you want to do a little bit of a emotion barf, we're here.
Do event or tell us something good that happened in your community.
Tell us something interesting. Tell us something
anything.
Good. Tell us.
Send us a recipe you think we'll like.
Send us a recipe. Send us an activity that you're enjoying.
We might try it.
Whatever. Because we got to compartmentalize because we got to get through this.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolade, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.